Hi, everybody. My name is Katarzyna Lokat, and I am an alcoholic.
Hi, Kat.
If anybody would tell me that I would be able to stay sober in 30 days, I would probably cheers to that about 3 months ago. So I'm very pleased and glad and blessed to be here. Let's see how it all started. I think I was always around alcohol, and I think it was a family gene that we all have in my family. It's just something normal. I don't think anybody would call anybody an alcoholic in my family unless we were so powerless that we would, like, for example, my grandfather would maybe ride his bike home from like a party or get together with his friends and actually end up on the side of the road. That's when you had a problem, and that's when you were an alcoholic. So enough said about that. Most of my family doesn't believe we all have a problem. I mean, it's just is what it is. But I always knew I did. So first time I remember having of alcohol, I don't remember, but I believe it was at a maybe wedding, and I think it was like my cousin, who was a maid of honor, they slipped a little bit of alcohol for the little kids. You know, we're gonna teach them how to drink at early age. I mean, why not? Join the party, you know. So, and then so I grew up in Poland, and of course I always would make a joke saying that I probably came out of the womb a little drunk, because that's just how it was. And I moved to the United States when I was 11. And my dad was the type of alcoholic that was very abusive and violent. So that was very difficult to live with. And my mom became an enabler and a codependent person. And growing up, I developed a way of this fantasy that I was going to save my family, and I was going to be the one that's going to get successful, and I'm going to be the one that's going to save all of us from this nightmare. So at age 13, my dad had really hurt my mom, and she was to the point where like it was just too much. It just went on for the whole weekend, and my brother and I had, you know, were always witnesses to all this. So I put it upon myself to tell my mom that if she would take my dad back, that I would run away. And granted, she did. So I was very strong at that age, at that point, very confident. So whatever I said, I always meant it. So I was out and about, and I found girls that had similar problems like I did. So we just went crazy. I mean, at one point we had a lot of money. We manipulated people. We had money we ran away with. And eventually, I always wanted to stay in school. I always believed in education. So eventually I kept getting caught, and they kept putting us in jail, and I was in Conklin, which is like all girls shelter, and I was very depressed. And then I remember going through a hospital where they were trying to evaluate my problem, and I remember having my family together, and like we tried to do this counseling thing, but nothing ever worked, seemed like. So, but I never gave up on the fact that I was gonna save them, and I was gonna go to school, and I was gonna financially be available too. And I guess that's how I started learning being very codependent and wanting to fix everybody. And through high school, it was harder to get alcohol. So I actually had my first boyfriend. He was a pothead, so that was very fun, because we got stoned all the time. And since his dad was the captain of police station, you know, how we would never get in trouble. So I was just high all the time. I think I got on a principal's list in senior year, and I was stoned, and it was just incredible because we're always high. And then I went away to college because I want to get away from my family. And there I always experimented other different drugs, because I guess I was an escapist. I love to run away. I mean, obviously I ran physically, I'm going to run away mentally. So I would experiment all these drugs, and I loved it. And I would be like painting, and I thought I was, you know, I was great mind experience stuff. It was just crazy. But I always went back to alcohol. Alcohol was like the thing that alcohol loved me. It didn't love my dad, because my dad was a bad alcoholic and he was violent. It loved me because it made me happy, and I wasn't a mean person. I was just nice and, you know, and friendly with everybody. So slowly but surely, I remember saying when girls would do messed up things on alcohol, I used to say, hey, that's just an excuse. You should never use an excuse when you drink alcohol. That's just an excuse. And slowly but surely, my disease got into the point where I couldn't control it, and there was no excuse. I finally realized how some people were doing things that they would never do sober, and I became one of them. And throughout all that crazy stuff, I actually even would get jobs at clubs and nightclubs so that I would feed into this sickness. At least, hey, I'm gonna make money partying, why not? Might as well, since I love this so much, I couldn't get away from it. But I always knew I wanted, I was getting deprived of the life I could have had if I could just stop, and just couldn't stop. And I believe that God, I always believed in God, and I was always close to Him. And I felt like I was this little kid that was doing bad things behind His back. And like, I would be so afraid to look at Him in the eyes and finally start doing a good thing. Because I knew what I was doing was wrong, and I knew what to do would be right. And He would finally start rewarding me instead of punishing me. I think He literally followed me to hell for me. I think that's how much He wouldn't give up on me. And then finally, I think when I saw Him at my worst in hell, is when I finally said, you know what, I'm going to walk out of here with you. And so how did God get here? Well, my godchild from Austria came to visit me this summer, and she's 11 years old, and she's such a magical little kid. She's so smart, and she does all these things, and I guess she forced me to wake up with her every day for 2 weeks and do the healthy, normal stuff. And I think that's when I stopped going out at night and drinking, and I started living again through her eyes, and she woke me up a little bit. And then my girlfriend, one of my best friends that is in the program, would constantly call me, never gave up on me. She would call me like, Kat, I'm happy, life is wonderful, you know, come join me. Like, I wouldn't be able to even pick up the phone, and like, she just wouldn't give up. Like, and finally, like, I knew what she was going through. I just thought that I didn't deserve it, or I couldn't do it, or I wasn't ready. But a time came on the 9th of September when I walked through these doors, and just like most of you, I had a great feeling of hope just by walking in. And at first I was like, all right, these people are crazy. You know, I'm probably gonna be just like them, crazy eventually, but I just couldn't kind of like walk into it. I know the word God meant a little too further away than like, I guess I just wasn't used to people using the word God a lot around me, because I was around people that didn't use that word. So it was kind of like, you know, refreshing. So I walked through the door and I took my first magical chip, which I keep in the place where I used to keep like drugs, which is, I found a better place for it, which is, it's funny when I look at it, it's like my own little inside joke, but that's where I keep them. And when I first walked in, I was like, ooh, all over the place, everybody's saying hi, and everybody's great, and I'm like, whoa, this is crazy, you know, but we ended up going to Daily Eats. I hear it's like really AA spot too. So we went there with a couple girls, and we sat down, and this girl sat with us, and she looked at me, and she said, you know, I want to sponsor you. And I was like, wow, this is great. But I thought, I was like, you know, I thought for a second, I was like, wow, you know, she's younger. I thought she was younger than me, because I'm like 30 years old, and I thought she was maybe younger. I'm like, wow, I mean, some of the stuff I went through, she might not relate. But we said a couple of things, and then I realized that God sent me there. Like, there were so many signs. Like, I realized maybe her and I have more in common than I thought we would. And that's how it started. I think if she didn't ask me that night, I would have lazied out or found excuses not to do the right thing again, because it was so easy not to do the right thing. So we met that week, and I just wanted to get to the point of getting the fourth step out, all the junk that was holding me back, because I just know that if I do that, I can start flying again, and I can start inspiring not only my life but other people's life. And I think that's one big reason why I'm in here, to peel all the dirty, ugly layers of my spirit and my soul and my being and find a balance that I need. And 5 minutes left. So today, the difference is I'm working through the steps, and they're amazing. It's an amazing process. I'm growing every day, and I'm looking fear, and I'm looking the steps in the eyes, and I had a good dream. I actually have good dreams now. Like, I don't have, like, you know, I'm very vivid in my dreams. So I used to have all these nightmares of getting choked and chased and running. And finally I'm getting, like, funny dreams. Like, every once in a while in my dream, it's like, haha, it's a joke. And I haven't had that in, like, so long. And, like, I'll never forget the first time I had a pure smile on my face. Like, it wasn't because I was drinking. It wasn't because I was on drugs. It was because I was happy, and like that feeling was so pure. I'll never forget where I was in a moment. Like I felt like it was like tingling inside, and like little bubbles were popping. It was just amazing. And I think when I'm the happiest here, is like it's so much better than like the most crazy messed up day out there. But when I have a bad day, it's not even like compared to how bad it was back there. So it just takes a lot of discipline, and it's so hard how hard it is for me to love myself and to do the right things. But the more I do it, it gets easier and easier, and I'm just very, very curious about and very excited about my growth and my relationship with God and my relationship with myself. I'm so excited about learning about myself. It's like almost weird sometimes, you know. But I also discovered that I have codependency issues. Wow, can't wait to deal with that one, you know. But I'm just ready to take it all on and take all those layers off. And like I said, I want to see what my wings look like when all of that comes off. And it's fun to see people come after me. Like I'm only like a couple, you know. I'm like not long at all, but it just like feels like, haha, I'm not a newcomer anymore. It's like the new person that comes in is the newcomer, you know. And then I watch and listen to the tapes of people being like sober for 10 years, and they're like, haha, even a year and a half you think you're not a newcomer. So I think it's a great journey, and I'm so glad to be a part of it. And I just think the whole thing about it is not giving up and having people that don't give up on you, and I think anything's possible. And that's about it. Thank you so much.